Welcome into another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. It is Tuesday, March the 4th, 2014. I'm your host, J.R. Davis. Today, of course, we are talking private option. Once again, the House readies for their fifth vote on the private option today. And joining me now is Minority Leader of the House and right here from Fayetteville, Representative Greg Letting. Thank you so much, sir, for taking time just to kind of update us on the situation there in Little Rock.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Good morning.
Good morning. All right. So a lot of action going to take place later today. The House will reconvene at 1:30, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So what are you guys expecting there? We've had a source in the House tell us that they believe it will pass today on the fifth vote. What can you tell us about what you know right now?
We do feel really good about the odds of the private option passing later this afternoon. We are making sure right now that all members are going to be present. Because of the icy road conditions, we've had some members that have had difficulty reaching Little Rock. But assuming everybody is present, we expect to take the vote, expect it to pass.
All right. And tell me, how did we get to this point? I mean, obviously, there were some different amendments that had to take place. We had to reach across the aisle a little bit, or actually reach across the same party on the Republican side to get some of these votes. How did we get from where we were last week to feeling good about today's vote?
Last week, The group of 27 House members that were still holding out had several conversations with Speaker Carter, kind of voiced some of their concerns. Some potential compromises were discussed. Our caucus had already made it clear we were not willing to do anything else to change the law. Mm-hmm. The one compromise that they came up with was potentially creating an enrollment period for the private option to mirror enrollment periods in regular insurance. I'm not sure whether or not that deal is still going to be part of getting the vote today, but it was something that after talking about it inside our caucus, talking with the governor and people at DHS, we felt it was something that we would be willing to support, even if we frankly think it's kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's obviously been a lot of conversation at the Capitol to try to get those last two votes needed. What can you tell? I mean, like, as far as member-wise, have you spoken to some of these members that have been a no vote previously? Have you spoken to the ones that say, okay, yeah, I'm willing to vote for it now?
I have had a number of conversations with members who have been voting no. Some of them are members who are never going to change their mind. Mm-hmm. Others are members that I believe have always been willing to vote yes. But I have not had any conversations with any of those since last week. I still maintain that we have had the vote all along. We've just had some people playing games with the political process. And we've had people that it took them a little while to come around and realize that there was no way out. A vote against the private option is a vote against DHS. It's a vote against seniors, kids. I know we've had some members that wanted to pull the appropriation for the private option out of the DHS budget, and that was simply a non-starter. So had we not been able to come up with 75 votes past the DHS appropriation, we'd be looking at a major hole in budget, about $89 million, and it'd just be a mess. So I think these representatives finally come around to the reality that there is no way around.
And it's interesting that you brought that up about the politicking, if you will. I mentioned it last week when the candidate filing period began. You have a lot of these candidates, because this is such a controversial issue, especially among Republicans, you have a lot of candidates saying, hey, I don't want to draw a primary opponent in this race. How much do you think that had to play into it, and or do you believe it had everything to play into it until the vote today?
I think it had a lot to do with it. I said weeks before we went into the session that I didn't expect us to take a vote until after the filing window closed. I personally think that you shouldn't worry necessarily about whether or not going to cost you a primary opponent. You just vote the way you vote, and then you stand for election. But I do believe that weighed on a lot of people's minds, and I think that's one of the reasons we have seen the movement in the vote since the window is closed.
What's the next step after it passes? What do you hope to have accomplished in the rest of the fiscal session? Obviously, coming up pretty quick. I know Speaker Carter said hopefully be done with it by March the 6th. So things will be, you know, finished up there. What are some other priorities that you guys need to get done before it's over?
Taking care of the rest of the budget. I know there's still a few holds out there in a couple of budgets. I'm sure we'll see those all released. We'll get through the rest of the budget, get it passed, and hopefully have everybody get home and then get on the campaign trail.
All right, House Minority Leader Greg Letting from right here in Fayetteville, taking some time this morning before that big vote this afternoon. We appreciate it.
Anytime. I'm happy to do it.
Alrighty. This has been another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. It was a short one, but it was a good one today. We got a lot of information there from Representative Letting. If you'd like to see our other podcasts, or listen to them rather, you can go to our website, nwahomepage.com, and scroll down on the right side. You can click on the image there, and it'll take you to all of our podcasts. We will see you next time.
This production is copyright 2014 by Nexstar Broadcasting Group. All rights reserved.